It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel, all at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Hello, you've arrived at the RTC Weekly Download, where we feature old-time radio that we really like, and I think you'll like it too. We're going to have some examples for you to listen to for about 90 minutes today. We're going to include Fred Allen in that, and also a Western. But first of all, we're going to check out Vincent Price and the Saint. This is called The Terrible Thing from 1950.
The Adventures of the Saint, starring Vincent Price. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime now comes transcribed to radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Vincent Price as the Saint.
On my way, Mr. Templar.
Hands up. I said hands up.
Are you crazy or something?
Do you want me to shoot you?
Look, I'm not crazy. I'm not even something.
Hey, go right back inside.
No, wait a minute. Leave us not lose our heads because...
Sit down over there, Mr. Templar.
Mr. Templar? But I ain't, Mr.
Sit down.
Okay. Sitting down, but I still ain't Mr. Templar.
Don't think you can escape what's coming to you by lying to me.
I never lie to Blunts. And besides, my name is Louis. Mr. Templar invited me over to dine, you know, for dinner. I drive a cab. Does Mr. Templar drive a cab?
Well, no, but...
Well, you see, that proves I'm not Mr. Templar.
It does not. Where's your cab if you're a cab driver?
Out in the street.
Oh, you're trying to trick me into leaving.
No, lady, you can't keep a cab in an apartment. What would the landlord say?
Stop trying to fool me. Just give me that picture.
What picture?
I'm Sally Blair.
Yeah, I'm Louie. I'm pleased to meet you.
I want my sister's picture.
I haven't got your sister's picture. I haven't even got my picture.
I'm warning you.
I haven't even got a sister.
If I have to kill you to get it, I'll kill you.
Lady, that's against the law. Ask any policeman.
This is your last chance. Are you going to give me the picture, or will I have to shoot you?
I think you'd better shoot me, Miss Blair.
Oh, Mr. Temple, I'm very glad to see you.
I didn't knock. It's not polite, but, well, it is my apartment. What seems to be the trouble?
Hey, all of a sudden she's crying.
Yeah, so I noticed.
Look, I don't like to mention this in front of a crying woman, Mr. Temple, but... That's a gun she's still got in her hand.
Yes, I think I'll take it, Miss Blair. Thank you. It wasn't loaded.
It wasn't loaded? So what was I scared about?
Miss Blair...
I'm a fool.
Probably, although a pretty one. Who is your sister?
Valerie Marsh. But you already know that.
I do now. I didn't before you told me.
But you must have known you have her picture and...
A picture of her doing what?
Sunbathing at the beach in Miami with Pete. Mr. Templar, you know...
Pete, of course, would not be Mr. Marsh. Presumably, then, the picture of Mrs. Marsh with a friend in Miami, probably taken at a time when she had told her husband she was elsewhere, would be valuable for what? A divorce case?
Now you're admitting you knew all about it.
I'm being bright. Humor me. Your name's Blair. Your sister's name is Marsh. You're not wearing a wedding ring, however. Therefore, it's your sister who must be married into a man named Marsh. Simple?
Maybe for guys that went to college. Me, I played hooky from kindergarten. To me, it ain't simple.
But it's true. Am I right, Miss Blair?
I don't know, because you should have known all these things before this. Because, after all, you did have my sister's picture.
Who told you that?
Valerie's husband, Theodore Marsh. And he ought to know, oughtn't he?
I don't know. Let's go ask him.
Thank you.
Mr. Templer, you're walking into a lion's den.
I'm driving there in a cab.
Yeah, but your name ain't Daniel.
No, however, Miss Blair needs help. Right, Miss Blair?
It isn't help. It's clearing things up.
Well, perhaps we can get started on that right away. Exactly what did your sister's husband, Theodore Marsh, say in reference to me?
Well, after he told Valerie he was going to divorce her, he said you had a picture of her and Pete taken in Miami 2 months ago.
Where was he at the time?
Out west someplace on business.
Your sister really was in Miami?
Yes.
She was at the beach with Pete?
Yes.
Pete what?
Brian.
But of course it was the merest coincidence, huh?
No. Pete's in love with Valerie, but...
How about Valerie?
I don't know. Except that she'd never do anything that would endanger her marriage.
Oh, I take it your brother-in-law, Mr. Theodore Marsh, is very wealthy, then?
He is loaded. That is, yes.
Well, this here is either the Marsh residence or Grant's tomb.
It's the Marsh residence.
Okay, but how can you tell?
Grant's tomb is smaller. Miss Blair.
Thank you.
Louis.
Yeah,
will
I'll
you...
wait. I'll wait. I wouldn't even mind.
All right. I'm sorry about the dinner.
No, that's all right.
Would you like to go and get something to eat while you're waiting?
I should say not. What kind of guy you think I am? You ask me to dinner, I'm going to have dinner with you if I have to wait till breakfast.
All right, Louis. Come on, Miss Blair.
Mr. Templer.
Oh, come now. You can't be formal with a man you were going to shoot. Call me Simon.
Simon, don't tell anybody about my trying to shoot you.
I won't. I really should have had a manicure before I touched that button. Tell me, is it solid gold or only gold-plated?
Everything that Theodore buys is solid gold.
The poor man must be weighed down.
Good evening, Miss Sally.
Hello, Graves. Come in, Simon. Graves, where is Mrs. Marsh?
In the music room, ma'am.
Come on, Simon.
Miss Sally?
Yes?
Mrs. Marsh may not welcome any visitors. She's not well.
That's all right. She'll see us.
Oh, as you say, Miss Sally.
Graves is a very nice butler.
Well, his hair is hardly snow white, however.
All butlers used to be young sometime or other.
Oh, I don't know. I always thought they were kept in the cellar till aged, like wine.
This is the music room.
Well, it's a little smaller than Carnegie Hall. No balcony.
Who's that?
I'm sorry. I hope I didn't upset you, darling.
Sally, you couldn't upset anyone. You're too wholesome.
This is Mr. Templer.
Oh?
How do you do?
Mr. Templer, the detective?
Well, not exactly. I...
Oh, shouldn't you be muttering somewhere with my husband in a dark corner?
I don't know him well enough.
Or possibly lurking in a hotel corridor?
I never lurk. It's an allergy.
Although I will admit you surprise me.
Do I?
You don't look at all like the kind of man I thought you'd be. You should have been small and sly, greasy. Your hat pulled over your eyes, a cigarette dangling from your lips.
You know, I once knew a man who looked exactly like that.
Oh, one of your associates.
No, he happened to be the professor of ethical philosophy at Harvard.
Valerie, stop flirting with Simon. Besides, you're wasting time. He says he never had a picture of you and was never hired by Theodore to do anything.
Then why did Theodore say that...
I don't know, but I believe Simon. Look at him.
Yes, I'm looking.
Yes, and if I'm turning a beet red, it's because it's very warm in here. Shouldn't we be asking that question of Mr. Marsh?
Oh, yes, of course. Sally, darling, will you get Theodore? He's in his study.
All right, Valerie.
What is Mr. Marsh studying?
What?
In his study.
Oh, the labels on bottles of old whiskey.
Oh, well, now that's a fascinating subject.
Mm-hmm. You're a little on the fascinating side yourself.
Yes, but I don't have $1 million.
You mean like Theodore?
Mm.
Some men don't need $1 million.
Like Pete?
Oh, Pete. He'd just like to have money. But after... Well, that was Sally.
Your husband's study. Where is it?
Oh, come with me. It's upstairs.
That's an odd place for it.
No, it's next to his bedroom. So that after Theodore has studied enough bottles, he doesn't have to walk upstairs. He couldn't. Sally.
Oh, Valerie.
Sally, what's the matter?
Behind the desk.
I'll have a look. That was Theodore Marsh, Sally.
Yes. You said was.
Yes, I said it intentionally. The knife in his back reached the heart. He's still warm. He was murdered quite recently.
Murdered?
Men rarely commit suicide by stabbing themselves in the back. They find it inconvenient or something.
I beg your pardon, but I heard someone scream.
Miss Blair, Graves. An unmannerly sound, but Mr. Marsh has been murdered.
Good heavens, sir.
Yes, I agree with you. Would you mind phoning the police, Graves, and asking them to drop in?
The police?
But... Yes, Mrs. Marsh, and some of them probably won't even remove their hats. It's vulgar, but still it's...
You're being unkind suddenly.
I'm being angry, I think. Someone's been trying to make a fool of me and succeeding, which isn't very important, but the same person has done something a little more serious. He or she has murdered. You know, people get electrocuted for that.
Okay, Joe, I'll get a shot from this angle.
Make it snappy over there, too, would it?
Yeah.
No fingerprints on the desk?
No, sir.
Yeah.
Templar.
Yes, Lieutenant?
Come on out in the hall.
Oh, all right.
What were you doing here?
Well, Miss Blair asked me to visit with Mrs. Marsh.
So?
So I was visiting with Mrs. Marsh.
Why?
You've seen Mrs. Marsh?
Why'd Sally Blair ask you to visit in the first place?
She thought I was an art patron.
A what?
Lieutenant Riley, stop pretending that you don't have degrees from at least two universities.
Hey, quiet, quiet. What do you want to do? Get me in trouble with the boys?
I'll keep it a dirty secret between us.
Thanks. You're not confiding in me tonight?
Not until I go home and write like mad in my diary.
All right. Go home.
Well, I'd like to say goodbye to Sally and...
To neither of them.
Well, I suppose there's a profound police reason for that, huh?
Nope, I'm just being mean. Good night, Templar.
Good night.
Templar.
Yeah?
One thing I gotta say about you. You got a lot of dignity.
Oh, it's funny you should say that, Lieutenant. I was just considering sliding down that banister.
Lots of cops back at that marble shack.
So there were, Louis, so there were.
What'd they find out?
That Theodore Marsh was dead.
By themselves, or did you tell them?
Louis, stop being disrespectful.
Okay.
We eat and dine now?
Now we turn left at Milani and stop
1890?
No, 312.
Oh, that's too bad. 1890 Milani Road would have been at least an appetizing address. Who are we calling on?
A man named Pete Bryan.
Can he cook, maybe?
No, but he has other talents, Louis. He looks very pretty in beach pictures.
He does?
He does.
You're going up to his place to take some more pictures?
No, I just want to find out exactly how he fits in the picture of murder.
Who is it?
Simon Templar.
Sounds like a clean-cut American boy working his way through college. Uh-oh. Just remembered, you're the saint. I'm wrong.
You're wrong. May I come in?
It's a little on the late side.
I've just seen Mrs. Marsh.
Lucky you. Come in.
Thanks.
Sit any place.
Oh, thank you.
Valerie sent you here?
No.
I thought you said you'd...
I just said that I'd seen her. She was trying to look when I left her like a woman stricken by overwhelming grief.
Because you were leaving?
Because, and I hope this comes as a shock to you, her husband was dead.
Theodore Marsh dead? Terrible. Or do I mean nice?
That depends.
On what?
On how handy a man you are with a knife.
It was the pride of my scoutmaster.
If you had a hand on the knife that killed Marsh, you may yet be the pride of the district attorney.
You're really saying Marsh was murdered?
He was really murdered.
Fine. Wait a minute. You're the man who has a picture of Valerie and me taken in Miami, aren't you? The one Marsh was going to use for divorcing Valerie?
So I've heard. I don't have it, which I regret. It's a picture that won't mean anything in a divorce case anymore, but might mean a lot in someone's trial for murder.
That's right at that. Nice of you to tell me about it. Are you offering the picture for sale?
I don't have it.
Would this make you change your mind?
Oh, you've run out of knives, eh, Brian?
This is safer. Well?
It's a very pretty gun.
Stop admiring it. Hand over the picture.
I don't have it.
Would you prefer being shot?
I never prefer being shot. As a matter of fact, I'm never shot. It's unethical or something.
I don't think I'm going to mind being unethical about you.
I'd mind.
You haven't much time left.
Neither have you. The police are coming to visit with you.
With me? Why?
Doesn't seem to have been a very well-kept secret that you and Mrs. Marsh were... friendly, shall I say. Mr. Marsh is now dead as a result of extreme violence. The police will undoubtedly want to know where you were earlier tonight. Where, by the way, were you?
That's none of your business.
Oh, now, you've wounded me to the quick. I shall leave now.
Wait.
You want me to stay and tell the police about the picture?
Okay, get out. Don't try anything with that photograph. It doesn't mean a thing.
Of course it doesn't. Good night, Mr. Bryan. Be nice to the police. They don't have $1 million like Valerie, and they're not pretty. They can be the death of you. I'm home at last.
Yeah.
It'll be a late dinner, but it will be dinner.
I don't care what it is, just so long as it's something to eat.
You must be starved. I'm terribly sorry, Louis.
Oh, that's okay. You couldn't help it.
Shut the door behind you, Louis.
Hmm? Okay.
Good.
Hey, look, there's an envelope on the floor.
Oh.
Yeah, somebody must have shoved it under the door while we were out.
Hey, it's a special delivery addressed to me. Well, 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 it's a photograph.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it ain't a bad tin type. Nice. Miami, huh?
Yes, very nice.
And what they got on the beaches, that ain't bad either.
Louis, you were speaking of the woman I...
Yeah.
Never mind.
Hmm.
It's Valerie Marsh. The man's Pete Bryan.
Him you can have.
Him I don't want. You know, I'm puzzled, Louis. Hmm? Apparently Theodore Marsh wasn't lying when he told his wife he'd sent the picture to me.
That's nice. So maybe where he is now, the temperature's mild instead of hot.
Louis, I'm worried.
What, about Mr. Marsh's future?
About his past. And about... excuse me a moment.
No, that's all right. I got some serious studying to do. Hey, here's a horse in the fifth I know is going to win.
How do you know?
Because my feet hurt.
Because you're... Oh.
The horse's name is Blue Jay.
Oh, well, put a plaster on him for me, huh? Hello? Lieutenant Riley, please. Simon Templer. I'll hold on.
Want him to come down and arrest the picture?
Lieutenant, you visited Pete Bryan. You holding him? I meant in jail. You're not. You'd have liked to, but you're not. Should you have? Well, I don't know. Good night. This place is over on the other side of town. Took us nearly an hour to get here from it. It's going to take us nearly an hour to get back there.
Oh, don't tell me. We're going for another ride?
Yes, we are.
Uh-huh. We dine later?
Yeah, we dine later.
Supposing the guy is asleep?
Then we'll wake him. Or he may have run away from home. Door is locked. However, it's a cheap lock. Any flat key should open it. Perhaps this one. Yes.
Mm. It's kind of dark in here.
Light switch around someplace. That's better.
It is?
Bryan didn't run away from home. Nor could I have waked him, however loud I rang.
Oh, his head don't look so good. Look, the gun he shot himself with still in his hand.
So it is. And I think we'll leave it there. He's not as pretty as his picture.
Yes, sir?
Oh, hello, Graves.
Mr. Templer.
Mr. Templer. This will go better inside.
Oh, of course, sir. But everyone has retired for the night, sir.
Naturally. Some of them, however, can still be waked.
I beg your pardon?
The music room, I think.
Oh, yes, sir. Here we are, sir.
Good. Graves, I'll need your help. I want you to go to Miss Blair's room. Wake her if she needs waking. Tell her I'm down here with the photograph.
The photograph? The one of Mrs. Marsh and...
She'll know. Tell her that and leave her. Wait 5 minutes, then go through the same routine with Mrs. Marsh.
But I don't...
You don't have to understand. Will you do as I say?
Yes, sir.
Before you go, turn off all the lights in this room. Will you accept that small one on the table?
Very well, sir. But why...
I'm setting a scene, and it'll play better in the dark. Thank you.
Graves just told me.
Good for Graves.
The picture.
I have it. But before you start anything...
Start anything?
Yes, like waving guns at me, I'd like a question or two answered. Marsh was a rich man. Like most rich men, I assume he made a will?
Yes.
The provisions of which are... Hesitation doesn't become you. Obviously, he would have left the bulk of his estate to his wife, yes?
Yes.
There would have been the usual bequest to servants, and what else?
You've been in touch with Theodore's lawyer.
No, I'm guessing. But I'm right so far?
Yes.
What else was in the will?
He left me some money.
A lot of money?
A lot of money.
Thank you.
But that doesn't mean that I...
Mr. Templer, this is hardly the time to... Oh, Sally.
Valerie, I'm afraid.
Of Simon?
Hello, Mrs. Marsh.
You don't have to be afraid of Simon, Sally. He's a gentleman.
And flattery won't help, not anymore. Mrs. Marsh, why did you tell me your husband said he'd sent that picture to me?
Because that's what he...
No. What conceivable reason would he have for telling you about it?
Well, I really don't know.
Would he have wanted to make it possible for you to steal it from me? To make it possible for your sister to threaten me with a gun in an effort to get it away from me?
I don't know what to say.
Well, you might try the truth. How did you know your husband had sent the picture to me?
I... Oh, all right. I'm not very proud of myself, but... I've been using Graves to spy on my husband.
Valerie.
I said I wasn't proud of myself. But I had to protect myself. I didn't want to be divorced or...
Then you discovered the existence of the picture and its whereabouts, not from your husband, but through Graves.
You say discovered its existence as though perhaps it didn't exist.
Oh, it does exist, all right. I have it with me.
Oh, may I see it?
Yes. Here.
Thank you. Hmm. It's a nice picture. Very good likeness.
There'd be no doubt about identification. There would have been no difficulty about corroboration either once Pete Bryan was put on the witness stand.
Simon, you said would have been no difficulty.
I did. Bryan, unfortunately, is no longer in a position to testify to anything.
Well, he's not... Not...
He is. I left him half an hour ago, lying on the floor of his bedroom, a revolver in his right hand, a bullet wound in his right temple.
He killed himself.
So it would appear.
But why? Unless, of course, he killed Theodore and...
And was then seized with panic or remorse and put an end to his own life?
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty theory.
Theory?
Theory. Pretty, but like so many pretty things, false. He was murdered.
But from what you just told us...
When Louis and I entered his room... I had to put the lights on.
Well?
According to police records, no man shoots himself in the dark.
Oh.
This is all a little too much for me. I'm going upstairs.
I think you'd better leave the photograph here, though.
No, I'm keeping it. It belongs to me.
It belongs to the police.
I said I was keeping it.
Valerie, put that gun away.
It's pearl-handled, no doubt. A gun of the highest pedigree.
I don't care what you say or think. I'm...
Mrs. Marsh?
Oh!
You'd better let me have the gun. I'm sorry, madame.
Oh, never mind.
And the photograph. Here you are, Mr. Templar.
It hasn't been damaged. I rather thought you'd be outside the door, Graves.
Thank you, sir.
You might as well let me have Mrs. Marsh's gun, too. Exhibit A and Exhibit B. The police will be pleased.
Here it is.
Yes. Yes, yeah, rather a heavy gun for a woman. I wonder if it's heavy enough to...
Simon!
I'm afraid I may have slightly damaged your butler, Mrs. Marsh.
Yes, sir. So I see, but...
I feel terribly about it.
If you knocked him out, he probably deserved it.
Thank you, Sally. But I don't feel terribly about knocking him out. What I feel terrible about is... the butler turned out to be guilty. Yes, Mrs. Marsh?
I'm not sure why I'm still up, or why you're still here.
Well, the answer to that is simple.
Yes, Simon?
I haven't explained how I knew Graves was the murderer.
Oh, how did you know?
Well, there was the photograph. You lied about it when you said your husband had sent it to me, but I knew you had to be lying, because if your husband intended to use it as evidence in a divorce case, he would have sent it to his lawyers, not me.
Well, that's true.
Therefore, I wondered... Had you sent me the photograph yourself? Not if you were planning to commit murder, because that photograph would have been strong evidence against you.
And it might have been Sally.
Well, if it were, why would she have come to my house and tried to get it back from me? No, it was neither your husband, Sally, nor yourself who sent the picture to me. And Peter Bryan's death cleared him, which left
Graves, mm-hmm. who wanted the bequest my husband had left him.
Yes. Graves, who sent the photograph to me in order to provide motive for murder against you. And who then proceeded to murder your husband.
Who never even knew about the picture. Graves took it from my desk. But, Simon, why did he kill Pete?
A double gamble. Either the police would accept the suicide as genuine and close the case on the basis that Pete had murdered your husband and then killed himself, or else...
I'd have been suspected of both killings.
Right.
Simon.
Yes?
You finished the explanation. Are you going to rush away now that you've solved the mystery of the picture?
Not on your tintype.
Simon.
Yes?
And they call you the saint?
Well, even saints can take time off. I'll see who it is. Louis.
Louis.
Oh, good heavens, I forgot all about... Now, Louis, stop standing there and looking hungry.
What do you want I should do, sit down and look hungry?
Simon, what's wrong?
I promised Louis a dinner, and then your sister came along, and then the murder came along.
Do you mean you two haven't had your dinner yet?
I'm afraid not.
Well, both of you sit right down. I'll go see what we have in the kitchen.
Well, you see, Louis, I was explaining the clues to Mrs. Marsh. I didn't mean to stay so long.
Explaining the clues?
Yes.
So wipe off the lipstick from your face.
Huh? Oh.
It's all right, Mr. Templer. I think we're going to have a wonderful meal. Because judging from the look in your eyes when I came in...
Yes?
Mrs. Marsh cooks with gas.
You have been listening to another transcribed adventure of The Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime. Now here is our star, Vincent Price.
Ladies and gentlemen, a long time ago it was written that man shall not live by bread alone. In this often quoted line from the Bible, bread is merely a symbol of all material values. And although we in America have the greatest material advantages in the world, they are not enough to bring us complete happiness. We must find that happiness in our spiritual as well as our material lives, in faith as well as bread. In America, one of our most precious heritages is the right to worship as we please. And as an individual, you can find the peace that only religion can bring. Thus, the religious organizations of America invite you to find yourself through faith and come to church this week. This is Vincent Price inviting you to join us again next week at this same time for another exciting adventure of the saint. Good night.
This adventure of the saint, entitled The Terrible Tintype, was written by Louis Vitti. In the cast, you heard Joan Banks as Valerie Marsh and Lamont Johnson as Pete, Helen Parrish with Sally, Ken Christie the lieutenant, and Dan O'Herlihy the butler. Louis is played by Larry Dobkin. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris, is a James L. Safier production and is directed by Helen Mack. Vincent Price is now starring in The Winslow Boy at the Las Palmas Theater here in Hollywood. All you Saint fans will be glad to know that the Saint comic books are on sale at all newsstands. Your announcer is Don Stanley. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. For more mystery this afternoon, there's another adventure with that hard-boiled private eye, Charlie Wilde, who solves another baffling case by a mere swash of the buckle. It's 30 Minutes of Suspense with Charlie Wilde later today. And Sunday means another broadcast in NBC's gigantic series, The Big Show. Tallulah presides as usual, and her guests tonight include Fred Allen, Ed Wynn, and many more. On The Big Show, tonight on NBC.
And here's a program reminder. On the Radio Theater Channel, we feature The Saint Monday through Friday in the last third of the broadcast day. So go ahead and check that out at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now we're going to listen to an episode of the Old Gold Comedy Theater, and this is hosted by the silent screen star, Harold Lloyd. His guest this week is Fred Allen, always amusing, and this is from 1945, The Show Off.
In New York, the makers of Old Gold Cigarettes present the Comedy Theater. The only radio program which brings you every week the greatest stars in the greatest comedy. Tonight plays The Show Off, starring Fred Allen. And here is the director of the Old Gold Comedy Theater, Mr. Harold Lloyd.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight's play, The Show Off, really presented quite a casting problem. You see, the ideal person to portray the role of Aubrey Piper had to have these characteristics. He had to be a radio comedian at one time. He had to talk through his nose. He had to have large, baggy eyes, and he had to have a wife named Portland. So, after months of searching, we came to the conclusion there was only one man that had all these attributes. And here he is, Fred Allen.
Well, Harold Lloyd, I remember you. You used to be in the movies.
Fred Allen, I remember you. You used to be on the radio.
Gosh, my grandmother used to take me to see you in pictures, Harold.
When radio first started, my mother used to put a crystal set in my cradle.
Really?
I'd tune you in with my safety pin.
Now, wait a minute, Harold. We can't be that old. It must have been two other guys, Montgomery and Ward or somebody.
Could be. Fred, I understand that you have just completed a picture called It's in the Bag.
Well, how did you know, Harold?
You're advertising it under each eye.
And under each knee, if you'll take a look at my trousers. But let's forget my assortment of bulges for the moment, Harold. How about telling the audience about tonight's play?
All right, Fred, here we go. Our story tonight takes us to Brooklyn, New York. Brooklyn is a quiet little place at the end of a bridge. It's noted for its cemeteries, a tree that grows there, and its baseball club, the Dodgers. At the other end of the bridge, there's another city. It's called, Oh, yes. Thank you. New York. Now, Brooklyn is also noted as the home of an assortment of rather odd characters, not the least of whom is Aubrey Piper. Aubrey has recently blown into the Fisher home as the suitor of daughter Amy. And you can tell exactly how the rest of the family feels about him if you listen to what Mother Fisher has to say.
I tell you, Clara, I've never heard anybody talk so much in all my life. It's a miracle to me how Amy stands for him.
They say love is blind, Ma.
Well, it ain't deaf. Clara, he darn near talked the ear off Pop the other night, telling him he was a big executive of the New York Central Railroad. Bosh.
Listen, Ma, for your information, he's an attendant in the baggage room. A big executive, my eye.
Amy thinks he's a bigger man than the president. Oh, there goes your brother working on that fool invention of his again. Joe?
Yes, Ma?
Stop that hammering. What'll the neighbors think at this hour?
They'll think I'm hammering.
Gosh, Ma, it's only 8 o'clock. I got a lot to do.
There'll be enough noise when Amy's boyfriend gets here.
Oh, him. Is that windbag coming again tonight?
Shh, there's Amy now.
Oh, hello, Clara. Well, what's the matter with all of you? What are you looking so glum about?
You can't expect us to be as happy as you, Amy. Everybody don't go around with a millionaire.
Well, Aubrey may not be a millionaire yet, Ma, but just give him time.
Yeah, he'll need plenty of it.
You sure got on your glad rag, sis. Mr. Big must be arriving early tonight.
Yeah, must have been a slow day down at the baggage room.
What baggage room? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Aubrey Piper. He works in the Grand Central baggage room.
Who told you that?
My husband told me. He has lunch in the same drugstore with Aubrey every day.
That's how much he knows.
And what about that story he gave us about the draft board? Says he was turned down because of a floating kidney.
Well, Aubrey has a floating kidney. He told me so himself.
Well, why doesn't he buy an anchor for it? Floating kidney. That's something else Frank found out about. Frank knows a man on the draft board. Aubrey was turned down because he's colorblind.
Oh, isn't that silly? Why would he lie about a thing like that?
Child, that man would rather lie than tell the truth any day in the week.
Oh, so long, Mom. I'm going home.
Not a bad idea, Clara. When he gets here and starts talking, you'll never get out.
Yeah, you said it. Mark my words, Amy. That fellow's a four-flusher. Uh-oh, here he is now.
I'll get it.
Hello, folks. And Amy, how is my little lammy pie? You look sweeter than the cellophane on a lollipop.
Oh. Hello, Aubrey. Here, I'll take your hat.
It's a Homburg. You can smell the onions on it. And how is our sweet little gray-haired mother this evening?
I was all right till you came in.
You're a little corny, Ma. I'll send that joke in to Can You Top This? Clara, leaving so soon?
Yes, I've got to be getting home. Good night.
Sit down, Aubrey. Oh, you must have had a hard day.
Oh, yes, it has been trying, Amy. Decisions to make every minute, important cases to handle.
You mean suitcases, don't you?
I had a long conference today with the board of directors. They wouldn't think of ordering even a Dixie cup without getting an okay from me. Well, Joe, my boy, how's the young Thomas Edison?
Okay, Mr. Piper.
And how's the invention coming along?
I'm still working on it.
The War Department can use his silk process in the making of parachutes.
You know, I perfected a substitute for silk that would have put every silkworm in the country on relief.
Oh, you did?
Yes, sir. My silk had twice the luster, twice the wear, at one half the cost. I tell you, Joe, my boy, if the brass hats had listened to me, this war would have been handled differently.
And how did your silk invention work?
Very simple. The liquid was squirted through the filaments before the threads were tied together.
Before the threads were tied together?
Yes, sir. You know, I toiled day and night perfecting that silk process for parachutes, and then the big boys turned it down. Why? Because they thought I was a nobody.
Oh, that's your father. Open the door, Joe.
Okay, Ma. Before you tie the threads together, you squirt the liquid. Oh, hello, Pop.
Hello, son. Here's the evening paper, Ma.
Oh, thanks.
Well, well, if it isn't Father Fisher, the head of the family. A family's like a glass of beer. It's not the same without a head.
Hello, Piper.
And how's the big chief tonight?
Don't slap me on the back.
Can't take it, eh, Popsy?
I told you not to slap me on the back. I never saw such a pest in all my life.
Pa, please.
Well, tell him to keep his hands off.
I've got the old boy's goat. You're not mad, are you, Popsy?
Popsy.
Well, hi-ho, alack-a-day, folks. I've got to get along.
Oh, Aubrey, must you leave so soon?
Now, where do you think you're going?
To the opera, Popsy. They're playing Verdi's Rigoletto tonight. Looks as though Verdi's got another hit.
The opera? Oh, I'd love to go, Aubrey.
Well, some other time, baby. Business before pleasure, you know. I can't disappoint Mr. Hollister.
Mr. Hollister?
Paul Hollister, president of the road, you know.
Oh.
Oh, he's an opera bug. Has two seats all season in the Diamond Horseshoe.
You're going to the opera with Paul Hollister?
No one else but, Popsy.
Oh, yeah? Well, then, tomorrow, Piper, I'm having lunch with Harold Ickes.
Why, that's impossible. Ickes and I are having lunch at the Waldorf. Well, I must be off, Lammy Pie.
Good night, Aubrey.
Good night, Lammy. Good night, Marconi. Good night, Mother and Dad. I'll bring you back a Figaro from the opera.
Going to the opera with the president of a railroad. Who does he think he's fooling? Now, you listen, Pa. Clara told me tonight that Aubrey works in the baggage room.
What?
Gets $150 a month and not a penny more.
I'm surprised they give him that much.
You tell Clara to mind her own business, Ma. She took the man she wanted, and I guess you took the one you wanted. And if I want Aubrey Piper, I'll take him.
Well, remember this, Amy. If you do take him, be sure that you keep him, and that he keeps you. And don't be coming around crying for your pop to help you out.
Aubrey Piper can support me. He's told me so himself.
Oh, Amy, has it gone as far as that?
It's gone further. If you want to know, we're engaged.
What?
Yes, and we're going to be married.
Married? When?
Next Wednesday, that's when.
Holy smoke,
Amy. Oh, mercy me.
Married to that pie-eyed Piper.
Well, the Fisher family certainly doesn't approve of Amy marrying Audrey. Why, Ben Brower. Don't tell me that's the Fisher dog, and he too disapproves.
Well, not exactly, Mr. Lloyd. He's my dog, Pecksniff. He's such a bad little fellow, I don't dare leave him alone in the house.
Why, Ben, he looks so harmless.
Well, don't let his looks fool you. Now, Pecksniff, now go on over in the corner while I talk about old gold, will you? Pecksniff, stop licking my face, will you? Flattery won't get you anywhere. And stop eating my scrip. Here, Pecksniff, stop chewing my cuff. Will you cut it out? Oh, Pecksniff, my trousers. That dog makes me so mad I could... Hey, what am I carrying on like this for? I know what to do. I just say, why be irritated? Light an old gold. Yes, smokers, take it from me, when you're being pestered by a pooch or anything else, why be irritated? Light an old gold. Especially today, there's nothing like the comfort and pleasure of a fine cigarette. Ah, but you won't get that comfort and pleasure if your cigarette is hot, harsh, or dry. Therefore...
To help prevent cigarette dryness, Old Gold's superb tobaccos are conditioned with apple honey. This special conditioning process helps hold in the natural moisture, helps guard your smoking enjoyment.
But that's not all.
To give you a smoke of extra zest, extra flavor, a touch of rare imported Latakia tobacco is added to Old Gold's blend of many great tobaccos.
Yes, extra flavor plus extra special protection against cigarette dryness. That's Old Gold. Soon as you can, try a pack. Now, back to the Old Gold Comedy Theater presentation of The Show-Off, starring Fred Allen. All right, Mr. Lloyd.
Aubrey and Amy have now embarked on the sea of matrimony. It is several weeks after their marriage, and Aubrey has brought home a little surprise for his bride.
Well, Lammy Pie, here it is. Just a small token of my affection for you.
Aubrey, an automobile. Oh, how wonderful. Oh, but I thought it was impossible to buy a car these days.
Not for little old yours truly. I put a little pressure on and got a priority. One of my best friends is the smiling Irishman. How about a brisk spin around the block?
Oh, I love it.
Well, step in, Lammykins. Let's go places.
Oh, isn't this simply grand?
Rolling along the open road in a high-powered car, a pleasure fit for a king. Well, first now, we'll warm up the motor.
Oh, Aubrey, this is the happiest day of my life. Won't it be wonderful when we go on our honeymoon? When are we going?
Well, it depends, Lammykins. It's a little difficult right now, gas rationing and all. But when I get to Washington, I'll drop in and see Chester Bowles. Chet's head of the OPA. He'll get us a B car.
Oh, will you teach me to drive sometime?
Oh, no time like the present, Lammy Pie. Driving is really simple. This is the gas here, you see. Here's the brake. Now, to shift the gears, you...
Is it supposed to do that?
Well, it's a fluid drive. I guess I forgot to put in enough fluid. I'll try it again. Ah, now we're all set. Amy, get ready for your first driving lesson. Now, to start, you put your foot on the gas pedal and press down.
Aubrey, dear, slow down. There's a red light ahead.
Red light? Why, that's a green light.
Why, Aubrey, you must be colorblind. Aubrey, be careful.
Careful? I'm driving in the safety zone. Now watch this, Amy. I'll accelerate.
Aubrey, you just missed that old lady.
Now look, to make a right turn, you...
Aubrey! You're heading to that drugstore. Aubrey! Aubrey, look what you've done. Right through this plate glass window. Oh, now what's going to happen?
Hey, who does that guy think he is? Superman?
Chris, he's alive!
I almost killed that poor old lady.
Hey,
what's going on here? Who's driving this car?
I was, officer.
What were you doing in this Jeep driving up on the sidewalk? Ain't the street good enough for you?
That other car crowded me off the road.
What other car? You're like all Sunday drivers with your alibis. Let me see your owner's license.
My license? Why, certainly. When you see the name on my... Why, that's strange. I don't seem to... Well, I took my license out at lunch at the Union League Club. Is that so?
What's your name?
Aubrey Piper.
You two stay here. I'll get the license number on the card.
Aubrey, dear, aren't you always supposed to carry your license with you?
Well, to tell the truth, honey, technically, this car doesn't belong to me.
It doesn't belong to you? Whose car is it?
Well, legally, it's still the property of a friend of mine. Harvey Albright, one of the boys down at the office. Merely a question of transferring the ownership, a bill of sale, a few...
Hey, Mr. Piper, I think you'd better come along with me.
This is preposterous, officer. I demand to know the charges.
You've got no registration card. You could be driving a stolen car. You drove through a red light, you smashed this plate glass window, and you've been drinking.
Drinking? I've never touched a drop of liquor in my life.
You've been drinking martinis. I can smell the olives on your breath. Come along.
I warn you, officer, this incident will be called to the mayor's attention immediately. The little flower isn't going to like this.
Little flower, huh? You're talking through your buttonhole. Come along, Big Mouth. You can tell it to the judge.
Yes, sir. I tell you, the citizens of this borough are left entirely unprotected. Where was LaGuardia when I needed him most? Probably down at the opening of a new butcher shop, throwing out the first meat hook.
Oh, LaGuardia, my eye. You were in a spot and it cost Father $1,000 to get you out of jail.
Clara, please.
Maybe you make me tired, too. That was practically Pop's life savings. Seems to me your husband might stop blowing off for a minute and think that over.
Oh, for heaven's sake, be quiet, both of you. Joe! Stop that hammering!
What's that, Ma?
I said stop hammering! There are headaches enough around here.
Speaking of headaches, Aubrey, how come you're not working today?
I took the day off. I'm house hunting. Can't stand that hovel we're living in anymore. We're thinking of moving into a home of our own. Place on Shore Road, I rather like. Duplex.
Oh. Well, Amy, I just don't understand you. How you can talk about moving to the swellest part of town when my husband had to pay your rent this month?
That's a lie. Aubrey, how can you let us say that?
Now, honey. Don't get upset. Don't get excited. There is a certain amount of truth in your sister's remark.
What?
I was, temporarily pressed this month. Hollister away in Washington. Chase of the Chase National out of town.
Come off that high horse, Aubrey. You and Amy will have to come here and live. My husband isn't paying your rent next month.
That's the phone. Answer it, Amy.
Okay, Ma.
Probably your pa. He's late tonight.
Hello? Yes? Yes, this is Mr. Fisher's home. No, this is his daughter. What? What's happened to him?
Oh, is something wrong? Something wrong with Pa?
Well, how serious is it?
Oh, he's been hurt. Clara, he's been killed. I know.
Now, just a second, Ma, darling. Let Amy talk. Let's find out what it is.
And Brooklyn Hospital? We'll be right over. Thank you.
Oh, tell me, Amy, what happened?
Now, listen, Ma, there's nothing to worry about. It's not serious. Pa had a little accident over at the defense plant.
Oh,
they took him to the hospital. We've got to go over right away.
Oh. Now, don't worry, folks. I'll get the finest surgeon in the country. If I have to fly him in from the Mayo Clinic.
Oh, I don't know how I'll stand for it, Clara. If I let that windbag husband of Amy's live here, it won't be a week before he's telling folks that he's letting me live here.
Well, it's too late now, Ma. I'm afraid you'll just have to bear it. It'll be some time before Aubrey lands another job.
Well, there's one consolation. Your poor pa being in the hospital, he won't have to listen to that everlasting gab. But it's going to be pretty hard, all of us living here on what Joe makes. Guess we'll have to manage. Oh, I guess that's them now. Open the door, Clara.
All right, Ma.
Hello, everybody. Here we are in toto in the flesh. One big happy family.
Hello, Ma. Hello, Clara.
Hello, Amy. Set your suitcases down. I declare I don't know where I'm going to put everybody.
Any place at all, Mom. Tell the canary to move over in his cage. Just bunking here for a day or so, you know. Expect a call any day now to join Hollister down there in Washington.
I bet Hollister can hardly wait.
I'll fix up Pa's room for you, Amy. Leave the suitcases here, dear. Aubrey will bring them in later.
Yeah, suitcases are his specialty. Or is that part of his distant past?
Amy, you come too.
All right, Mom. Oh, answer the door, will you, Aubrey?
Sure thing, Lammy Pie. Coming, coming. Well, my good man, what can I do for you?
Does Mrs. Fisher live here?
She certainly does. Whom do I have the pleasure of addressing?
I'm from the Consolidated Insurance. My name is Gill.
Well, well, step right in, Mr. Gill. Glad to see you. Have a chair.
Why, thank you, Mr.
Piper's the name. Aubrey Piper. Mrs. Fisher is inside with my wife. She'll be right in.
Oh, that's all right.
Tell me, Mr. Gill, anything coming to Mrs. Fisher because of the accident?
Well, yes, not much, but we hope it'll tide her over until Mr. Fisher recovers his health.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Of course, Mrs. Fisher is always welcome in my home here. But she's an independent old soul, always talking about being a millstone around my neck. Wants to move into a place of her own. I tell her she's foolish.
Oh, very nice of you, Mr. Piper, to feel that way.
Well, people tell me I'm crazy, but that's the way I am. So you're in the insurance game, Mr. Gill.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting field, insurance. Was in it myself for 10 years.
That's so.
Yes, yes, yes. I liked it pretty well, but I got out after a while. No future. Transportation's my line now. Say, you look like a go-getter. Why don't you come over and work for our outfit? We're on the lookout for smart young men.
Oh, gosh, I'll have to talk that over with my wife, Mr. Piper. Sounds like an attractive idea, all right.
Aubrey, will you bring in the big suitcase?
In just a minute, Amy, dear. There's a gentleman here to see your mother.
Oh, Ma, there's somebody here to see you.
Coming, coming. Body can't get a minute's peace in this house.
This is Mrs. Fisher, Mr. Gill, and this is my wife, Amy. This is Mr. Gill from the Consolidated Insurance Company.
It's a pleasure, lady.
How do you do, Mr. Gill?
Oh, dear me, I don't know anything about insurance. Come in here.
What is it, Ma? What's the matter? How do you do?
How do you do? I'm very pleased to meet you. And now about your husband's policy, Mrs. Fisher. Here's our check for $1,000.
You're sure there's no trick in it?
No, there's no trick, Mrs. Fisher. That's money we like to pay, and we don't like to pay.
Yeah, I guess that's the way I feel about taking it.
I know what an independent little lady you are, Mrs. Fisher. Why, your son-in-law here has been telling me that you had some foolish idea you were a millstone around his neck.
Oh. What else did Mr. Piper say?
Why, that's about all. He didn't like her feeling that way. Well, you've got a nice little home here with Mr. Piper. No reason for you to move out.
Now, Clara, what did I tell you? Didn't I say he'd be telling folks that he was letting me live here?
No, Ma, not in front of Mr. Gill.
I don't care who it's in front of.
Well, Mrs. Fisher, your son-in-law didn't mean any harm.
I think I know what he meant better than you do, Mr. Gill.
Oh, Ma, please.
Well, I guess I'd better leave. I seem to put my foot in it somehow. Good day, all.
Well, of all the low-down, contemptible tricks.
Now, Mother, wait a minute.
What do you mean, telling people this is your house?
He didn't mean it, Ma.
Now, the whole thing was merely a misunderstanding, Mother dear.
Now, look here, Aubrey Piper. We know all about you and your misunderstanding.
Clara, are you trying to tell me...
She's trying to tell you that you're a fool and a liar and a show-off.
Well, for a fellow who doesn't have a cent, who's out of a job, and who's in bed with his entire family, Aubrey certainly puts on a terrific act.
You know, Mr. Lloyd, that reminds me of the time when I was an actor. I'm a modest fellow, but I must confess, as an actor, I was terrific.
Oh, is that so? Yeah. Tell me, what do you remember most about your acting career?
Well, without question, it was the time I played Hamlet. Mr. Lloyd, it was wonderful. Now, just picture it. The audience is tense, excited, waiting for me to make that great speech. I walk to the edge of the stage and begin... To be or not to be, that is the question. And then, Mr. Lloyd, would you believe it, I forgot the next line.
What happened, Ben?
Well, there I was, blushing and stammering, simply furious with myself, so I whispered to one of my fellow actors in the wings, and I asked him what was the next line.
Did he tell you?
Of course he did. He said...
The next line is... Why be irritated? Light an old goal!
Ah, yes, smokers, whenever anything goes wrong, that's the line to remember. Why be irritated? Light an old goal. Enjoy its grand extra flavor, plus its special protection from cigarette dryness. You see...
Old Gold's magnificent blend of many fine tobaccos, including a touch of extra flavorful Latakia tobacco, is specially conditioned with apple honey to help guard against cigarette dryness.
So keep it in mind. Old Gold, a better, keener, tastier smoke. But if you can't get a pack right off, please remember, even though we're producing all the cigarettes we can, without sacrificing one iota of Gold, Old Gold's superb quality, the men and women in our armed forces get first consideration in this production. But we're doing our utmost to assure fair distribution of all remaining Old Gold cigarettes. So if you had to be content with substitute brands today, be content in the thought that tomorrow, if you ask, your dealer may possibly have Old Golds. And now, here's Harold Lloyd and the Show-Off, starring Fred Allen. Okay, Mr. Lloyd.
Well, there's trouble in the Fisher family with Pop in the hospital and Aubrey in disfavor with his in-laws. Yes, sir, adversity is staring our hero in the face and has made him a different man. Listen for yourself now, and you will hear how this change has infected the family.
Aubrey, Clara is trying to tell you that you're a fool and a liar and a show-off.
Mom!
You keep out of this, Amy. This is for your good as well as his.
Well, what do you want him to do, Mom?
I want him to behave like a man and stop pretending he's something he isn't.
Now,
who can that be?
Why, he must be crazy, whoever's at that door. Just a minute, for heaven's sake!
Ma!
Why, Joey, what's the matter with you?
Have you gone crazy pounding on the door like that?
Mercy me, what's happened to your boy?
My invention, they bought it. Whoopee!
Joe, darling, how wonderful.
Congratulations, Joseph, my lad. I knew we'd put it over.
Why, I just can't believe it.
Here it is in the paper. Brooklyn Youth makes important chemical discovery. $100,000, Mom.
Ma, don't you understand? Joe sold his invention for $100,000.
And we'll make a million before we're through, my boy.
We? Now, you keep out of this. What have you got to do with it?
Well, it's a funny thing, Mom. But, you know, I signed all the papers this afternoon in the lawyer's office, and Aubrey has something to do with it. He gave me an idea.
What idea could he give you?
Well, remember what he said about squirting that liquid through the filaments before you tie the threads together?
Now, Joe, he was just repeating something you told him the day before.
Yes, but you see, he got it backwards.
Yeah, he would get it backwards.
Yes, but Ma, that's what made the whole thing work. Aubrey got it backwards and it worked that way.
Oh, what's the difference? $100,000? Why, it's a fortune.
Joe, my lad, if you're wise, you let me handle that money for you. I'll double it inside of a week.
I'll bet.
Funny thing about lawyers, Ma. When I first talked to them, I closed the deal at $50,000. And when I went up there today, they had the contract all made out for $100,000.
And they're getting away with murder at that.
Oh, keep still, you. You don't know anything about this at all.
Well, maybe I don't. But they thought I did.
Who thought you did?
The lawyers. I went to see them Saturday afternoon after you told me, Joe, that they were interested.
Well, I'll be darned. And what did you tell them, Aubrey?
Simply that I was head of the family, that they were taking advantage of your youth. I told them the deal was off unless they doubled the advance, gave you one half the net, and marketed the product at their own expense.
Did they know who you were?
Well, I merely told them I was connected with the New York Central Railroad.
Well, I certainly have to give you credit, Aubrey. That's the way the contract reads, all right.
Oh, Lord, I'll never hear the end of this.
Gee, that's wonderful, Aubrey.
I'll have to give you a little commission on this deal, Aubrey. You certainly deserve it.
Skip it, my boy. I want you folks to have a good time on that 100 G's. Just depend on me and every dollar will go an extra mile. Yes, sir, I'll be joining Hollister down there in Washington. And Joe, my boy, I'll be looking after your interests every day. If necessary, I'll take it to the top. Right to Truman.
Oh, Aubrey, you're wonderful.
You're only saying that, Amy, because it's true. This is Fred Allen.
This is Harold Lloyd saying goodnight to you for Old Gold. And I hope that you'll be with us again next Sunday when the Old Gold Comedy Theater presents Appointment for Love, starring Virginia Bruce. See you then.
Fred Allen has just completed for producer Jack Scurville the hilarious comedy It's in the Bag, released by United Artists. Now, until next Sunday night when the Old Gold Comedy Theater presents Appointment for Love, starring Virginia Bruce, this is Ben Grauer saying goodnight for Old Gold.
is the National Broadcasting Company.
At this point in our podcast, we're going to switch networks and switch gears. We're going back out west with an episode of Frontier Gentlemen. And this is the newspaper reporter for the London Times who roamed the west for interesting stories. He got this story all right. It's called Cannibal, and this is from 1958 on CBS.
In Chugwater, Wyoming Territory, there is a way station for the Cheyenne and Black Hills stage line. Because of a rainstorm, I witnessed a tragedy there.
Frontier Gentlemen. Herewith, an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. Now, starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
On my way to Chugwater, Jack Chase, editor of the Cheyenne Daily Press, had suggested that if I wanted an accurate picture of life in Wyoming Territory, Hyena Bob Saunders was the man to see. He ran the Cheyenne and Black Hill stage line station in Chugwater. In the coach with me were three other passengers, one a gray-haired, quiet man who introduced himself as Boone Thompson, the others Duncan Webster and his wife Rose. Webster, a dark-faced, handsome chap of about 40, was unaccountably nervous. His wife, composed in her middle 30s, a strong face, not unattractive. Our driver, Bill Cuttle, had expected us to arrive at our destination in the late afternoon, but a bad storm delayed us so that it was dark before we pulled into the Chugwater station.
You got a mite wet, lady. Warm yourself over to the fire. My name's Hyena Bob, folks. Now, you just all sit down, and I'll get hot coffee and victuals.
Mr. Saunders?
Oh, no, not Saunders, partner. Ain't nobody never called me Mr. Saunders except my wife. And the yellow grass has been waving over her nigh on these 15 years. Oh, the name's Hyena Bob. What can I do for you? Come on over while I set the coffee off.
I'm J.B. Kendall.
Well, right proud to know you.
Jack Chase mentioned your name.
Chase?
Yes.
That little feller looks like a rooster stepping high in the mud. Newspaper feller Chase? Cheyenne Chase?
Yes, that's the one.
Why, I ain't seen him in 2 years or better. How is he?
Oh, it's fine.
Nice feller, that. You know, he done me a right smart favor once. You a friend of his'n?
No, not a close friend, no.
He still got that newspaper of his'n?
Yes.
Oh, here, you stir that, will you? I'll get the mug
down.
Yes,
certainly.
You on your way up to Deadwood, mister?
No. As a matter of fact, I came here to see you.
Do you say?
I'm writing a series of stories on the West for my paper in England.
Do you say? Newspaper fellow yourself, huh?
Yes, Jack Chase thought you'd be the most likely person for me to talk to in Wyoming.
Ah, don't see what call he had to say that. Of course, I ain't saying I ain't got a story or two.
Well, that's what I'm hoping.
Hey, Cuddle, how goes it, huh?
Hey, you old grizzle heel. You call up this blue whistler? I ain't seen so much rain since the big one in 74.
You're going to see more before this one blows over. Huh? Southbound pulled out a couple hours back. Ruth Hockaday says you can't get through the gap anymore tonight. She's flooding all over.
Well, I better get them animals fed then.
Yeah.
I'll see you later.
Ah. Well, folks, we ain't got the most comfortable shake down here, but it'll be better than bedding out tonight. You want to get the coffee? I'll spoon out the grub. Take her over to the table by the fire.
Right.
Well, I don't mind the rain. It's snow and cold. That's what I don't like. I come from the east. Of course, we get it cold back there, but not like this country.
Kendall,
Old man say how long we'll be here?
Well, I got an idea. It'll be the night at least.
Well, I ain't staying the night.
Well, now, don't get riled up,
I ain't riled. I'm saying I ain't staying the night, that's all.
Well, if you ain't, mister, you'd be enjoying mighty poor health outside.
Listen, old man, I paid for my ticket.
Seeing as how you come in on the stage, I figured.
A little rain ain't gonna hurt. We figure on making Deadwood.
Oh, it doesn't matter, Doc.
What do you mean it doesn't matter? To you? Maybe it doesn't matter to you.
From what I understand, the trail is blocked anyway, Mr. Webster. Flooded. We'll have to wait.
Not me. How about horses? You want to sell a couple of horses, old man?
You call me old man again, sonny, and I'm going to jump down your throat and gallop your insides out. Name's Hyena Bob. No, I don't want to sell no horses. There ain't no horses to sell.
Who are you thinking? It'll only be until morning.
Sure, it's not so bad.
Now, you eat something, Dunk. You'll feel
I
better.
I don't want anything to eat. Now, leave me be, Rose.
Oh, I apologize for him, gentlemen. He's not himself. There's been sickness.
Well, no offense to us, ma'am.
I'll take him a plate of food if you'll excuse me.
Yes, of course.
Well, there goes a woman. Kendall, did you ever see it to fail? A strong female like that has to follow her man around wiping his nose for him. Look at him, sulking in the corner like a whipped kid.
Well, here's your grub, boys. Boy, where'd that come from?
Thank you.
Well, that looks good.
Tastes good.
Stew's all, just stew. I tell you, just the smell of it makes me so hungry my belly thinks my throat's cut.
You mind my asking how you make it?
Well, I don't mind you asking, Kendall, but I'd mind my telling. It's a secret stew. My old woman made it for me, and her ma taught it to her. And I had to swear I'd never tell how they done it. And I ain't broke my word yet.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Hey, what's ailing him, color of the woman?
Mr. Webster? Oh, I think he's just in a hurry to get the Deadwood, that's all. Ah,
that's the trouble these days. Everybody in too much of an all-fired hurry. What kind of business are you in, mister?
Thompson. Boone Thompson's me. Farm machinery.
Well, bust me to flinderjigs, a hay slayer.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, ain't no plow chasers in these parts,
mister. Oh, there will be. There will be, Bob. I'm out here from the factory to get things started.
What kind of machinery, Mr. Thompson?
Oh, plows, harrows, seeders, binders, threshing machines, and only the best. Our factory's back in Illinois. Bob, it's all cattle out here in your territory, but there's too many. The range won't feed them. You'll have to grow fodder. You'll need my machinery to do it.
It's against nature and can't be did. Bringing nesters in. Yeah. I hope I ain't overspoke myself with you, Thompson, but them's my feelings.
No, that's all right. You're not the first.
Don't tell me nothing. What's right and what's wrong for me, and that's the way it is.
All right, Uncle.
Now, go on. Just do like I tell you, will you?
No man ever talked to me like that before I got through. His face looked like a dime for the dog meat, I'm telling you.
Feel sorry for her. I really do, for a fact.
She's coming over.
Now, I got to tell you about the time I hauled a load of pussycats from Cheyenne to Deadwood. Yes, sir, that was something like... can I get you some more grub, ma'am?
No, thank you very much. I was wondering, would you happen to have any whiskey?
Whiskey?
I'd be happy to buy it from you. You see, my husband isn't feeling good, and I...
Sure. Well, sure, ma'am. I got a bottle somewhere. I'll bring it over.
Thank you very much.
That's all right. Oh, that woman sure is cluttered with trouble. Well, all right, you boys go on with your grub. I'll be right back.
That don't seem right. Making his wife ask for liquor for him. Think a man would do his own asking.
Well, there might be reasons.
But none good, I'd say.
Oh! Close that door!
Ooh-wee! Oh, she's a fence lifter out there. Hey, Bob!
Who's that, Colonel?
Yeah, that's who. How's about a dish of that hyena stew of yours?
Sure.
Boy... That tapeworm of mine is sure a hollering for fodder.
Anybody else want a tug of this? She's real coffin varnish. I never touched the stuff myself. Kendall, you Thompson?
No, thank you very much.
All right. Well, here you are, mister.
Thanks so much.
Oh, it don't cost. Take a friendly drink.
Oh, I want the bottle.
Ain't got enough for that, mister. Before this night's done and past, we all might need some.
I'll give you $5.
Well, you want to give me $5, I'm obliged, but I ain't giving you no bottle. You want a heist one, go ahead.
All right, $10 in it. Ain't worth no more than a dollar, and you know it.
Dunk, please.
Now, Rose, shut up, do you hear?
Mister, I don't like much I see about you ever since you come in here, and I'm liking it a lot less as we go.
Well, I ain't asking your personal opinion, old man. I'm just trying to buy your whiskey.
Oh, mister, your tongue is just a blossoming for the grain.
Gentlemen, I think we'll all be the better for a drink.
What you think don't matter, Kendall. Go sit down.
Oh, come on, Mr. Webster. We don't want any trouble.
Mr. Kendall's right, Duncan. Have a drink and you'll feel better. Give him one, please.
She looked at us, her face agonized, pleading. It was Hyena Bob who poured the tin mug full of whiskey. And as Webster reached for it, I saw the black snout of a derringer protruding from under his sleeve.
In a moment, we return to Frontier Gentlemen. A search for a missing woman triggers the tense drama you'll hear on CBS Radio's Gunsmoke later today. For all-out Western excitement, join us on most of these same stations today when Marshall Dillon helps a young man in search of his wife on the next thrilling episode of Gunsmoke. And now we return you to the Anthony Ellis production of Frontier Gentlemen.
Duncan Webster drank his whiskey. I noticed his hand shaking as he put down the empty mug. Now his manner changed completely. He became quieter, apologetic.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry the way I was.
He ain't been feeling good.
Yes, that's the truth of it.
No accounting how a man can feel. Sometimes it comes over me myself, and I get full of wrath and cabbage. Well, I'll go clean up them supper things.
Oh, let me help you.
Why, ma'am, I'd take that as a real kindness.
All right, Doc?
Why, sure. Sure, you go along, Rose.
Sure has been a while since I had woman folk helping us at shore.
Well, sit down. Sit down, Mr. Kendall. You want a drink?
Short one. Ooh, fine.
Well, I guess the old man won't mind if I join you.
Good luck.
Yeah. Good luck. Oh, man, I sure do hate the sound of that yowling wind.
I know what you mean.
Do you? Well, how about some cards? Thompson?
Yeah?
What's the driver's name, Mr.
Cuddle.
Oh, Cuddle. How about some cards, you two?
Oh, yeah, sure, I'll play. Something I promised the wife I wouldn't do when I came out west. Of course, I promised her a lot of things. I guess what she don't know isn't going to hurt her.
Yeah? Here. Have a drink, boys.
After a few minutes, Hyena Bob joined us, and we played for about 2 hours. Mrs. Webster sat by the fire, watching her husband with worried eyes. The bottle of whiskey disappeared, most of it down Webster's throat. Beyond a slight raising in his voice, though, it didn't seem to have much effect on him. I couldn't be sure whether Thompson and Cuttle had noticed the hidden derringer. If they did, they made no sign. It was Thompson who started to talk about the snow.
You know, playing cards like this reminds me of when I was up in Montana a few months ago. Talk about cold. 40 below.
Oh.
It gets that way.
I don't know how a man can live.
Come on, let's play cards.
Yeah, in a minute. Kendall, you ever been in that kind of cold?
I don't think I'd want to either.
Oh, no. Like if you take a deep breath, everything in your lungs is freezing. Really, I saw what it did to a man once. And I hope I never see it again.
Any more whiskey?
I ain't no hog, mister, but I think you got enough of that thunder and lightning in you to last a spell.
Hey, you talk about weather. Well, I've seen cattle froze up against drift fences. Hundreds of them. Standing like statues.
Cattle?
Weren't even 40 below.
Cattle, it's your deal, isn't it?
Huh? Oh, yeah. Have you ever been lost in the snow?
No.
I was.
I haven't.
I was. Only a few minutes, but I tell you, I was plenty scared. It was a blizzard, regular blizzard. Couldn't see your hand in
Cattle,
front of your
no
face.
There's no call to shuffle
and you know, there's no feeling as lonesome. Yeah.
I know. I was lost once in a fog. It's as though you're the last man in the world.
What are you doing? You're playing cards. You're talking about snow and cold. Why don't you shut up?
Don't.
Who cares about freezing? Who cares about snow? I ain't hearing you. I ain't
listening. Don't go out, Duncan.
Now, what's he want to go out there and get himself soaked down for?
I've got to go with him.
No, Mrs. Webster, maybe he's better off alone.
Sure. Cool him off. It's that tarantula juice. Why, ma'am, you ought to have been proud of him holding it the way he does. I seen a man take two drinks of that stuff, and he was reeling around like a blind pup trying to find out where his mama's at.
Well, me for some shut-eye, I guess. Yeah. You still got that mangy hound of yours or sleeping on the bunk's hyena?
He won't mind your fleas, Cuddle.
Well, I'm kind of particular who I breed my fleas with. Good night, ma'am.
Good night.
Boys. Good night, Cuddle.
Oh. Hyena, you got a place for passengers to get some sleep?
Oh, sure. Just follow Cuddle, Mr. Thompson.
All right.
Ladies' quarters is on the other side of the hanging blanket, ma'am. We don't usually figure to have folks putting over at this stop.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, Mr.
Good
Thompson.
Good night.
I'll go out and see your husband ain't drowned yet, ma'am.
When he gets like this, I never cross him. Just gentle him along. He's sick.
Oh, I'll do the same.
Bob.
Yeah?
Bob.
Huh?
He's got a derringer in his sleeve.
I know. I eyeballed it. And I ain't worried.
Maybe you'd better try and get some sleep, Mrs. Webster. We'll see your husband doesn't drink anymore.
I sometimes think he's better off with the drink.
You say he's sick?
Oh, it ain't nothing for doctor's cure. He wasn't always like that. Not a dark man when he was first married. It's a thing that happened to him once, and he won't talk about it. I guess maybe you can call it some kind of sickness.
Is your home in the territory?
Oh, it's been no one place for the past 3 years. Duncan's been a traveling man, one job after another. He don't hold him long.
What does he do?
Oh, a bit of everything. He's good at most all he tries his hand at, except mining. Now, that's one thing that he just...
Now, what are you doing, mister? You trying to make love to my wife? Make love to...
Duncan, there's no call to think such a thing.
Oh, ain't there? I seen him giving you the eye in the stage on the way out here. That's enough, Webster.
Ain't you man enough to find your own woman?
Go to bed. You'll feel better in the morning.
Mister, don't you go telling me what to do here.
Stop it! Haven't you done enough?
Enough what? What, Rose?
Tonight, everything...
No, come on. You were going to say something else. Now, finish up. Enough what?
Let her alone, Webster.
You feed off your own range, Kendall. I'm talking with my wife. What were you going to say, Rose?
No. You don't want to hurt her, Webster.
Look, I told you, mister.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Webster.
You had to.
Hey! Oh. Is he dead?
No. No, I hit him.
I knew that feller's tongue was long enough to cut his own throat. Better get the derringer off him. Sorry, ma'am, but I'm afraid your husband ain't got sense enough to be carrying a weapon mean as that up his sleeve.
Let's put him on the bench.
Here.
Use my jacket for a pillow, will you, Mrs. Webster?
Yes.
You know, I never did trust a man with a hit gun like that. Begging your pardon, ma'am.
Yes, why does he carry it?
Mrs. Webster.
He's afraid.
Why, he wanted? The law after him?
Oh, no. No, he's just afraid of something. I don't know what it is. And he won't tell me. He just keeps it inside. It makes him like this.
What do you figure, Kendall?
I don't.
What's the matter?
Webster had an argument. He lost his all.
What, he tried to draw on you, Kendall?
No. He's just drunk, Mr. Thompson.
Hey, don't either of you say anything. I've been waiting for this chance for a long time. Duncan, why did you do it?
Huh?
I
don't
know. What's he talking about?
I don't know.
Why? Why did you kill them, Duncan?
Cold,
yes.
Cold and alone.
You were alone? Yes, and what happened?
I had to.
You had to what?
Hey, you. Hold you let go of me.
Hey, let go of me! Help me!
Hey!
Let go!
Let go!
All right, that's better, Webster.
You told them.
No, I didn't. I don't know what it is, Duncan. I don't know
what is it, Thompson?
I'm a detective. Some people back in Kansas hired me. Folks of a young fellow died up in the Rockies. I've been working for him about 2 years now. Following this fellow, waiting for proof.
And what did he do, though?
You want to tell him, Webster?
I got nothing to tell.
He went up with four other boys hunting gold. The story he told when he came back was they got lost, separated from each other.
Well, that's true. It's true that that's how it was.
Your wife is right here, Webster. You want me to say the rest?
Let go. Let go.
You want me to say it?
Don't listen. Get out. Don't listen to him. He's lying, Rose. Get out.
What did he do, Mr. Thompson?
No, please. Don't say, Mr. Thompson. I'll admit, I'll tell. I killed him. I did. I never said, Rose. I couldn't tell you. It's been with me all the time. I killed him. But it was for the gold. The gold, that's why.
But you told me you were alone.
I was lying. We got lost up there, wandering around, and by accident, we found the claim. I shot him to keep the claim for myself.
What did you do with their bodies?
I threw them in a ravine. That's the way it happened. That's the way, Thompson.
Yeah. All right, Webster. That's the way it could have happened.
Why didn't you tell me, Dunk?
I couldn't tell you, Rose. I'm sorry. Sorry, Rosie. I just couldn't help it. We were lost in the cold. I didn't know what I was doing, Rose. I dream every night. I dream it so bad I want to die.
Maybe you'll be better off when you do, Webster.
The next morning, the storm had passed. Thompson took his prisoner and Mrs. Duncan and started for Deadwood on a long trip back to Kansas. Hyena Bob and I watched the stage disappear down the road. When it was out of sight, he said,
I tell you, Kendall, life is short and full of blisters.
Frontier Gentlemen was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Joseph Kearns, Stacy Harris, Vivi Janis, Lawrence Dobkin, and William Lally. Music was composed and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Join us again next week for another report from the Frontier Gentlemen. John Wald speaking. This is the CBS Radio Network.
I hope you enjoyed our acoustic rendezvous with the past and enjoyed it enough to return and listen to it again next week when we feature great old-time radio right here, this spot on the World Wide Web, wherever that spot might be. Until then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.